So I'm sitting here looking over Sydney Harbour with Karen Miles, having a cup of coffee and a glass of water in her case. And I'm holding her book here called The Real Baby Book You Need at 3 a.m. that Karen has just written in the last few months. And so welcome to the show today, Karen.
Thanks, Anders. Beautiful view.
It's nice to have you with us here today. This book is really cool, and I showed it to my girlfriend as well.
Awesome.
And she really loved it. It's beautifully designed.
Thank you.
And I'd be keen to hear a little bit about the history and the background to this particular book, because your story, I mean, really shines through when I read the book, and I'm getting to know you now, and the language, it just seems to be so you. And I think your story is quite illustrative and inspirational. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Awesome. Okay, great.
How it came to be.
I guess the original inspiration for the book was my husband, Stu. When we first had our baby, Harrison, 2 years ago, we were going through what every parent goes through when they bring their baby home from hospital. Those sort of first 6 weeks, 3 months are a bit of a nightmare. You all of a sudden just become in this baby whirlwind or vortex almost of sleep deprivation and trying to breastfeed, and how do you look after this new human being and you have no idea. And as much as there are manuals out there, you know, they help you in some instances and in others they really don't. But mostly there's this transition that you go through, I guess, as a person, which you don't really expect to have happen, because no one really talks about it. No one really tells you that you're going to change yourself. You just think, oh, you know, I'm just adding a baby, you know, to my life. And even as I say that, it just sounds so funny now. But anyway, so I had a lot of trouble breastfeeding. And as the majority of women do, even though most kind of portray it as being quite natural or easy. And so I was having a lot of trouble breastfeeding, to the point that, you know, I was getting really angry and upset and feeling like a failure. And you're trying to do this at 3 a.m. in the morning. You know what I mean? It's quite crazy. And so my husband was so great. He would literally run to his computer, because he's a computer nerd, and he would go and print out inspirational messages on his computer and hold them up for me while I'm trying to breastfeed this screaming baby. Do you know what I mean? And so it was kind of like, man, that's the real stuff I need to help get me through, not what I was reading in some of the other baby books that weren't really even touching on how you feel as a person and the guilt that you might feel and the inadequacy that you feel trying to look after this new human being. And so the real baby book You Need at 3 a.m. was kind of hatched way back in those first 6 weeks of looking after Harrison, but didn't actually materialise until a few months ago.
So in a sense, it's excuse me for my language, maybe a little bit of a manifesto, at least a help for people that are in similar circumstances that you were waking
Absolutely.
Up at 3 a.m.
Oh, because you just want to throw those baby books out the window that you've got, because you're sitting there going, why do I feel this way? You know, why isn't the baby getting on? You know, who can I call? There are some helplines, but sometimes you can't get through because they're so busy, because so many people are having so much trouble.
And they're all calling at 3 a.m.
That's right. Exactly. And so it's kind of like, gosh, I really wish I just had, you know, a good mate there with me, or my mum there with me, going through those really hard times. And so if you don't, you know, and realistically, not everyone really can have that, you know, in that sort of time period, then the book is just perfect for it, because you can pick it up at any page and it just really helps you go, oh, okay, yep, other mums feel this way. I'm normal, you know, it's okay how I'm feeling. Other people feel that way too, and don't worry about it so much. And it just kind of really encourages you and inspires you to get through it all.
Excellent. I think, I mean, just for the listeners out there, Karen and I met last Tuesday over a coffee or a breakfast, just after a book launch we both attended. And we spoke a lot about talent retention and the war for talent and talent attrition. And it just really struck a chord with me that the notion of women and women going through this stage in their life, that there's so much untapped talent there. Australia's constantly worrying about the brain drain, etc., etc. So not only have you put forward this magnificent book, there's really, you know, a great guide to women out there going through motherhood and the guilt and the whole journey that entails. But you also have some really cool ideas on how to, you know, solve Australia's talent shortage, in a sense, or at least, you know, contribute to solving it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the biggest thing that I really got out of becoming a mother is and again, this is what people aren't talking about, is just that real change that happens to you as a person. And I've still got my education and all my skills and my self-expression desires. And it's almost like when you become a mum, those get put on hold. Because we're told, oh, you need to be selfless, you know, as a mother, it's all about the baby. But it's not like that for women today. We're used to having our careers and we're used to having achievement and choices and options and control in our life. And so I guess I'm sort of telling women today that you don't need to give up your career, and employers don't need to worry about losing their talent. They can retain them. They just need to look at how work is organised differently. It's very old school these days, I think, to kind of assume that just because someone's at their computer at their desk that they're productive and that they're performing. It's very old school. And so just the idea of, well, if you want to retain your top female talent, don't just assume they're on some baby track because they're at home looking after their kids. They're getting their soft skills MBA. Do you know what I mean? It's so crazy to think that we're at home baking. Do you know what I mean? Because we do have that talent and we still want to use it, but we need workplaces to kind of go, well, if you want me, look at how you're doing things to do it better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was interviewed a few months ago by Clio magazine, which...
Excellent. Are you on their bachelor list?
No, I wasn't on their bachelor list. Ooh. But they were doing the midway spread or whatever they call it. No, the story was on 100% guilt-free, and it was around Generation Y women. And how there's a lot of pressure on Gen Y women as they perceive it this day and age, that, you know, you have to have a career and it has to be a respectable career. Preferably you should have one or two or three degrees. You should be a great mother in great fit. And you talk about this. I think you call them the latte mothers and the hot mothers. You have an expression for these different categories of women. I just thought it was so apt. Having done this little piece for Clio magazine, a respected academic journal, of course, to hear your perspective on this, because I think it's a little bit more grounded and has a bit more depth than this particular magazine. And I exclude all liability, by the way.
Definitely. I used to write for Cosmo, so you're forgiven.
Oh, good.
That was back in the old days. So, yeah, when you become a mum, the thing that you are faced with is other mothers. And you'll meet them straight away in your pre-birth classes at the hospital. Then you're thrown into a mother's group and you just encounter this whole new world. And so, yes, I like to joke that there are categories of mothers. And if you were to plot them on a graph, you know, where would you plot yourself? Because I think in life we tend to compare ourselves way too much to other people. We're either doing way better than somebody or clearly not as well as somebody. And that's basically as far as we would ever go. And it's very surface-based opinions and sort of, you know, it's just so fake. And so, you know, if you plotted motherhood on a scale from better to worse, clearly right up the top end, you'd have your yummy mummies. You know, your Victoria Beckhams, who I cannot believe, she like won some entrepreneurial award recently for, you know, being a top mother and a businesswoman.
Yep,
there you go. Go figure. So, I mean, if I had a stylist, a couple of nannies, an entourage of chefs and cleaners, I think I'd probably look like a yummy mummy too. But the reality is no one really looks like that, yet it's perceived as something that mothers or women should try and aim for. It's like the new supermodel, really. Once you have kids, you then have to try and not just be a supermodel, you have to be a yummy mummy. And so, yeah, there's the yummy mummies, there's the alpha mums.
Oh, the alpha mums.
They're alpha mums. They're like the new version of the 1980s super mum. So they've got the perfect house, the perfect husband, the perfect kids, the perfect wardrobe. You know, what life is just one long dinner party. Oh, and they've also got kids as well, by the way. So that's the alpha mum. She has just got it handled. Not as gorgeous as the yummy mummy, so maybe she's a bit further down on the better to worse scale, but she's still right up there.
Yep.
My personal favourite, though, would have to be the group I call the BMs, the breastfeeding mums, who clearly think that breastfeeding is, you know, just the thing to do, and the World Health Organization backs them up, says, you know, you should breastfeed your child for at least 12 months, and, you know, breast is best brigade is basically out there. And these women, you know, have trophies and, you know, berate other mothers, you know, for possibly ever considering using a bottle or anything like that. And in that category, I'd also put those women who just glowed through pregnancy and would never have even known, you know, if you looked at them from behind that they were actually pregnant. So there's gorgeous women who never sort of had a sick day in their lives. And then, of course, the women who had natural birth. without drugs, also love to do their little flag waving bit to kind of say, you know, why do women have drugs? It's just so bad. Oh my God, C-sections, you know.
And these are not just Scientologists, right?
Oh my God, no. So this whole group of women is out there. And great if you could breastfeed. Great if you had a nurture birth. Good for you. But don't you know, wave it in other people's faces. Like, they have to have that same experience, or they have to make that same choice if that doesn't work for them. You know, the beauty of today is that we're not our mothers. We do have more choices, and we can choose to breastfeed or not, and, you know, take into account all the education that is around us and make the informed decisions. So, you know, those women are clearly right at the top of the scale because they think they're better than every other mother, but they're really not. They're just trying to do the best they can as well. And then you've got your stay-at-home mums. So they're kind of in the middle of the scale because everyone loves them because they go, oh, they're clearly putting the kids first. But, you know, if we were to be really honest, they're, you know, they're kind of lacking in ambition, really, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? They're, you know, it's a bit of a martyr act. They've kind of completely given up themselves, and they've gone a bit funny in the head, bit of a mummy brain happening there. So they're kind of in the middle, you know, because they've gone a bit soft, but, you know, at the same time, they are doing the right thing by the kids, so they're doing pretty well.
So they're just doing a bachelor in business administration, not the MBA.
Absolutely, yeah, okay. Absolutely. You know, those are the alpha marks. Yeah. and then I guess, you know, in that sort of subsection of stay-at-home mums would be your mum. Because chances are most Gen X and Ys did have either a stay-at-home mum or one that was there, you know, predominantly full-time, because that was kind of the trend back then. Baking cookies and baked dinners. And making costumes for the Christmas concert and all that kind of stuff that we now feel guilty we're not doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. I haven't finished.
I'll let you go on. Oh, wow.
We cannot forget the classic career mums, the category of career mums.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, so look, clearly very, you know, articulate, beautiful outfits, you know, they've got the income to buy their kids the latest toys and gadgets, but really they're a bit selfish. They're labelled as being heartless, as putting themselves before their kids, because what did I say before? When you're a mum, you have to put everybody else first before yourself. You should be the ultimate act of selflessness as a mother. And it's just so fake. And so then my final category, of course, is all the mothers looking around going, well, I'm not that one, I'm not that one, I'm not that one, that I'm really feeling like I'm not getting my head around motherhood and I'm not doing so well, so I'm just going to fake it. So there is just a stack, thousands of women out there faking motherhood, trying to look like we've got it handled. And you can tell which ones they are. They're at mother's group telling everybody how their daughter has slept through, you know, from 3 weeks of age, slept through the night. Or, you know, they're the one giving the tips on how to settle a baby. In reality, though, they're struggling just like all of us. But because of the pressure, like you said, to be the perfect wife, be the perfect woman, the career woman with the glamorous career, to be gorgeous, to be the perfect mother, they've decided it's all too hard, that there must be something wrong with them, that they're not getting motherhood right, that they're just going to fake it. And that's really sad.
Wow. It is a manifesto. I think what's so fascinating to me, being a man and from Sweden, where we have quite different views on motherhood, fatherhood,
A great stat this morning about Swedish fathers, that almost 50% of them share like 50-50 you know, caring role with the woman.
Well, we have paid paternity leave there. And
it's amazing. If there's any